The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Chag Sameach. How are you? I don't know what to do with Mukundi now. Now we're at an impasse.
Chag Atzmaut Sameach. It is, of course, the 74th anniversary of Israel's independence. Shehechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'hiyanu lazman hazeh. An amazing moment indeed. Yeah, I'm not sure what you're going to do with Mukundi, and little be it for me to doubt Louis Karpis, but I did notice that the Real Madrid players, when they won last night, were wearing T-shirts with the number 14 on the back saying, we're going to go and win the 14th time. So,
so he might be wrong.
So I'm throwing that into the mix because I know there was a split between the answers. So I'm just saying, not doubting, but just saying.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Yom HaAtzmaut, because that's a really, really exciting for us. And just for me to say that when we get to Yom HaAtzmaut each year, I just think again how amazingly privileged we are, all of us, both those who live in the state of Israel and those who do not, to have the privilege to live in these times when a Jewish state exists. And I just think about generations who went before us, who did not have this privilege, and how they yearned for the opportunity to return to Jerusalem and to be able to pray in Jerusalem and to have a Jewish state of their own and to live as Jews in security wherever they happen to choose to live. How that was such a dream, how they would have done absolutely anything to be able to visit the location where the Holy Temple once stood. And here in our day and age, we have this massive privilege to be able to do all of these things that other people would have literally laid their lives down in order to be able to achieve that. And for us, it's kind of like just an everyday thing.
Yeah,
And I think that we need sometimes to step back and to consider how amazingly privileged we are.
You know, I often think of that when you go down to Cape Town or you go to these places with a beautiful view, and we are absolutely gobsmacked and we're blown away by it. And every time we turn a corner and we see the view, we think it's amazing. And you wonder if people who live there actually appreciate this on a day-to-day basis. And I guess it's the same thing. We just get used to the privilege of where we live and how we live.
And for me today, when I see the people celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut, when I see some of the activities that are going on, I think for me it's just really important to just take a step back and say, if my grandparents could only see the privilege that I have now, if those people who went before us in the Shoah, who perished in upholding their Jewish values, were proud to die in Lekidush Hashem, Lekidush Ha'am, in sanctification of being a Jew. And if they could only see the lives that we live today in Eretz Yisrael and the lives that we live as Jews around the world today, I think that they would be amazed at how fortunate we are. One of the questions that is often asked is, how does it happen that we move from Yom HaZikaron, the day before, to Yom HaAtzmaut, the day after, the two almost diametrically opposite types of days, one a day of mourning, the other a day of massive celebration? And why was that put together like that? Lots of explanations have been given in order, I think, to try and sort of post-justify what the significance of that is. But I've never really understood how it happened that kind of process, how those 2 days really got stuck together. But I've read something recently which I wanted to share with you guys, because to me this sounds like the most logical answer to how this all happened. And if we take ourselves back 74 years to 1948, we know that the Declaration of Independence was done on a Friday afternoon, very, very rushed, before Shabbat came in. There were some doubts as to whether the Declaration of Independence would actually be carried out on that day. It was not a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination. And yet David Ben-Gurion, Israel's first prime minister, took it upon himself. He was determined that before Shabbat on that day, the fifth day of the Hebrew month of Iyar, Hei B'Iyar, he was determined that independence would be declared come hell or high water. And kudos to him, because without that determination, who knows what might have happened. But what happened was that the day before that was the massacre of Kfar Etzion, the kibbutz in the Etzion area. More than 100 Jews were killed on the day before the Declaration of Independence, and it became afterwards known as the Kfar Etzion massacre. The numbers of people who were killed are still not quite determined, but it's in the order of 120 to 130 people who were literally lined up by soldiers from the Jordanian army and were literally executed, massacred in the courtyard of the kibbutz. And of course, a year later, in 1949, the law governing Yom HaTzma'ut was put into place, where there would be a celebration of Israel's independence each year on the fifth day of the month of Iyar. And of course, the day before that was the yort site for the Etzion massacre, because it happened, of course, the day before the declaration of HaTzma'ut. And each year, the yort site for those people was the day before Yom HaTzma'ut. And so it became traditional to mourn and have a day of a memorial before Yom HaTzma'ut, which started for those who were killed in the Etzion massacre, but somehow snowballed out to then incorporate all of those who fell in Israel's wars, and of course all of those victims of terror. And that's really how Yom HaZikaron became connected to Yom HaTzma'ut. And in fact, I think it was only in 1963 that the laws surrounding Yom HaZikaron were actually put into place to match it to the day before Yom HaTzma'ut. And I think it was all, I mean, at least this explanation sounds the most plausible explanation to me, that it was the yort site of the Etzion massacre followed immediately by Yom HaTzma'ut. So I think that that's where the history of the connection comes from.
Well, somebody asking, how isn't it a problem to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut in the middle of the Omer? I guess that answers the question, because it is when it is.
It is when it is, and I think it's one of those exceptions that are drawn. In fact, you know, it's traditional, for example, that during the Omer, there are no weddings, it's a period of mourning, you're not supposed to cut your hair, and all those kind of traditions that we follow during the Omer. And yet on Yom HaTzma'ut, people do get married. It's changed the nature of the day, even though it is within the period
of the Omer. I don't think they would allow that here. I certainly haven't heard of any weddings here, but but it is interesting that it's changing to that extent.
Yeah, it's changed the nature of the day, even though it is within the Omer. And it is because David Ben-Gurion, back 74 years ago, didn't think about the Omer. He just knew that if he didn't declare independence on that day before the sun went down for Shabbat, the chances of it happening were slim and slipping away. And he just seized the moment, and for that we will be ever grateful.
So taking a look at what Israel looks like today in 2022, we love to look at the numbers, the population. Give us a bird's eye view of the country.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that it's an amazing thing that 38,000 people emigrated to Israel over the period since last Yom HaTzma'ut, over the last year or so. Of course, a large number of them, something like 15,000, have come from Ukraine, immigrants from Russia who've been nervous about the situation for Jews in Russia, and particularly now on the back of those comments by Sergei Lavrov, hardly surprising that people in Russia, Jews in Russia, are feeling a little uncertain about exactly what their position is. So 38,000 new immigrants to Israel over the last year. Israel's population over the past year has now exceeded 9.5 million for the first time. The population has grown by 176,000 people, and that takes us just over, slightly over 9.5 million. And it's really, really easy to remember what the split is between Jews and between Arab citizens of Israel and non-Jew, non-Arabs. And it's really 7 million Jews, 2 million Arabs and 500,000 everybody else. That's the way that things are right now. Very, very simple to remember the split. And the projections are that by 2030, which is really not that far away, sounds like something out of the movies, something out of science fiction, but 2030 is only 8 years ago, that the population of Israel will reach more than 11 million people. And the projections are that by Israel's 100th anniversary, which is in 2048, only 26 years away from now, that the population of Israel will be 15.2 million people, which is a fascinating thing to think about, because in many countries around the world, of course, the populations are shrinking rather than growing. The other interesting statistic is how Israel's age demographic compares with the rest of the world. Israel generally has a much, much younger population than the rest of the world, and in particular when we compare it to the OECD, as we sometimes like to do. For example, in the OECD countries, the population age 14 or below is 18%. In Israel, it's 28%. Whereas the over 65 population in Israel is 12% of our population, whereas in the OECD, it's 17%. So what we're seeing is that in the OECD countries, the population is very much aging. And in Israel, we're still staying young and vibrant. Even though we do have longevity and we have a significant number of people in their older years, but yet it still doesn't dilute the number of young people that we have. There's still this great vibrancy that you can feel from the younger generation. That there's no doubt that that demographic has an impact on the overall atmosphere that we feel here, and certainly on Yom HaTzmaut, when we see all the celebrations which are being organized by individual municipalities, and of course the central Yom HaTzmaut celebration that took place on Mount Herzl in front of the grave of the great Theodor Herzl, of course had the vision of the Jewish state, but unfortunately didn't live long enough to see it actually come into being. He is the one who witnesses, in inverted commas, our annual celebrations, because these celebrations are carried out literally in front of his grave so that he can also witness the amazing result. One wonders how he would have considered the state of Israel today on the back of the vision and the view and the dream that he had, which unfortunately was never fulfilled. The tradition of lighting 12 beacons, one for each of the tribes of Israel, calling people from all walks of life, people who have made amazing contributions to this country, to stand up and light the beacon, not only in their own name, but in the names of their families. Each one stands up and says, I am who I am. I am the son of my parents. My parents are, and usually give a slight explanation as to where their parents came from and who their parents are. And of course, the reason that they are there to light the beacon, what they present and represent. And ultimately, Letiferet Medinat Israel, to the glory of the state of Israel, each beacon is lit. This year, Rita, the famous singer, was also one of the beacon lighters. And for the very first time, a masked individual, someone whose identity could not be disclosed because he is still a commander of a counterterrorism unit and still doing amazingly important work out there for us, and so therefore couldn't disclose who he is. He called himself by his initial. He said he is the proud son of parents, without mentioning who they are, because of course he couldn't disclose his own identity. Stood there in his mask, Letiferet Medinat Israel, to the glory of the state of Israel, and of course mentioning all the members of the armed forces that he represented on the night. And this year around, fireworks was not quite a thing. Many local municipalities decided to do away with the fireworks and instead implement a drone show or a laser show or something as an alternative, because fireworks are becoming kind of not such a good thing. First of all, the sounds, the noise that it creates is not only frightening to animals, but of course is frightening to those people who might suffer from post-trauma, post-stress trauma, And so there is some recognition of that. Of course, it's also very polluting. And so this year around, many local authorities decided to go for drone and light shows rather than the traditional fireworks. And I don't object to that. I think it's a nice departure and a very, very pleasant thing to do. And of course, lots and lots of concerts, because as we said, our population is a very young population, and lots of concerts, many singers going around the country, putting on performances in different locations, stages setting up, being set up across towns and cities around Israel in order to celebrate and to allow the young people to feel connected and to feel the need and the desire to celebrate along with some of the older generation who are celebrating because they remember what it's like not to have a state of Israel. And so for them, the significance is a slightly different significance. But overall, lots and lots of celebrations. It was noticeable that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was at the beacon lighting ceremony in Jerusalem yesterday, but not in the official dignitaries. Yeah. He took a step back. He was sitting on the stands with his family, amongst other families around him. So he took a step back from the limelight. It's traditional for the Prime Minister not to be an official dignitary. This is not a political thing. Right. This is really all very ceremonial, and he respected that. So lots of activities today, lots of simcha, and we hope that people around the world will join in celebrating 74 years of independence and an amazing achievement indeed when one looks at the modern-day state of Israel.
Anthony Reich, absolutely fantastic, giving us a very, very powerful sense of what it means to be celebrating 74 years of independence. Thank you as always, and of course, we'll catch you on Monday, wishing you a fantastic weekend. Shabbat shalom, and enjoy the day.